AccuWeather forecast, partly sunny with a high today of only about 10. Milwaukee-based Zilber Property Group is a commercial real estate investment company which has purchased almost 23 acres of land in the village of Pleasant Prairie for $700,000. The company previously did a number of speculative industrial facilities in Kenosha County. This last purchase comes ahead of yet another developing project listed for the southwest area of 108th Street and Green Bay Road. It's adjacent to the Lakeview Corporate Park, which is near Zilber's other project sites. Kenosha's Plan Commission, meanwhile, unanimously approving the Shalom Center's expansion permit for a new single-site homeless shelter on 39th Avenue. The group is continuing the process of trying to raise $1.8 million to convert that vacant office building into a larger shelter and soup kitchen. The executive director is Lynn Beast Carroll. She says this new building is going to mean an end to the housing of the homeless in church basements while also helping them to get back on their feet.
The long vision of the board of directors of the Shalom Center is that everybody in Kenosha County should have enough food to eat and should have a safe place to go when they're in need, and that they should have a hope for a better tomorrow.
The Shalom Center's already raised $750,000 toward the goal. Beast Carroll also announcing a second $100,000 challenge match donation has been made from the community, the first one exceeding that amount. The Sears store in Racine's Regency Mall, as you might remember, closed a couple of years ago, sending customers of the department store chain's famous Craftsman Tools to stores at Kenosha's Pershing Plaza or Southridge in Milwaukee. This week, Sears Holdings announced closure of another 150 stores, 108 of them Kmart locations, Racine's Southwest Side site among them, and also the sale of the Craftsman brand. Stanley Black & Decker will buy the tool line, which has a net value of about $900 million. Sears put the Craftsman, Kenmore, and Die Hard brands up for sale last year to help make a turnaround. Local kid makes good. Pretty good description of 10-year-old Alex Hart appearing on today's TV show called Harry with host Harry Connick Jr. It's on the CW network, Channel 18. He's there because Alex began a little bow tie business, which prompted an award from the Racine Area Manufacturers and Commerce. Lots of attention as well, including WRJN's Glenn Klein in a recent community conversation.
How many bow ties do you think that you've made?
Over 500.
Over 500 so far.
Yeah.
What is your favorite ones thus far, besides the lit up Christmas bow tie you have on right now?
The lit up Christmas bow tie.
The what?
The lit up Christmas bow tie.
Besides that one.
I like it.
I'm not saying that you don't, and you should like it. It's awesome. But besides the lit up bow tie for Christmas, can you think of one that just stands out in your mind?
The peacock feather one.
Alex
Hart of Racine going to be explaining his nonprofit enterprise, which includes, by the way, saving for college, with talk show host Harry Connick Jr., 5 p.m. today on Channel 18 TV. Racine County's new district attorney will be sworn into office during a 4 o'clock ceremony this afternoon at the courthouse. Tricia Hansen has been the deputy DA for the past few years. She won the November election against Kenosha Assistant DA Thomas Binger. The ceremony this afternoon likely to be well attended. Hansen has been with the DA's office for about 22 years. She's taking over for Rich Schepetti, who decided against re-election. Racine police sent their paperwork to the DA's office in reference to discovering a toddler wandering around the 900 block of Grand Avenue this Wednesday afternoon. It led to his removal along with a second child from the family home. Additional information was not made available because of what County Executive Chief of Staff M.T. Boyle says are state statutes, but she points out that Human Services Department staffers routinely get called in for any potential child abuse or neglect case. Police reports do indicate both boys were removed. Separate trials for murder in Kenosha are going to be held in the case of Donna Matthews and her brother Derek. They're accused in last summer's shooting death of Michael Gahan, the ex-boyfriend of Donna Matthews, who claims continued harassment by the victim. One of the defense attorneys in the case, Mark Richards, noting the file is rather lengthy and for purposes of discovery, more time is needed.
I had got all the paper discovery, but all the computer discovery, I brought a 2-terabyte hard drive and I was told that that's not even big enough. So I've made arrangements for my office to get a 4, which will cover it. I'll get that to the district attorney's first part of next week. We've made arrangements. Get all that to me. I'd ask for 45 days.
Derek Matthews reportedly implicating both himself and his sister in statements to police about Gahan's murder. The body of the man found in his 59th place home a few weeks after being shot. Governor Walker, as you probably have heard, calling for a special legislative session to take action on a series of bills designed to combat the opioid epidemic in the state, which is of interest to all lawmakers in the Southeast area. The bills to be debated during the session recommended by an opioid task force. Kenosha Representative Peter Barca issuing a statement that the epidemic is a very serious issue and it requires a very aggressive response, and the urgency of the special session is warranted. Both Racine and Kenosha counties have hosted summits to address such issues related to heroin and opioid abuse. Meanwhile, Wisconsin U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin pleased to hear that Governor Walker's directed the State Department of Health Services to apply for federal funding, which he says will help advance local prevention, treatment, and recovery efforts. One of the many questions posed lately to Racine Mayor John Dickert is about the Milwaukee Bucks and their D-League team and a lakefront event center, to which the mayor says minor league hockey was actually a primary starter on this project, but it's also about the jobs.
We've got a fairly strong commitment from the hockey organization, and that actually generates more revenue than anything. For, you know, the hockey generates more revenue, more nights, more fans than Bucks, indoor football, indoor soccer, all of it. Do we want the Bucks down here? Absolutely.
On WRJN's Community Conversation, Mayor Dickert noted that the event center and related hotel would go a long way toward getting the city off that top tier on the monthly jobless report.
We have in Racine a very large number of unskilled workers, they call them. So these are folks that have worked in the industry. They don't have a college degree, a master's, or a PhD. They are our workers. You know, it's what we all grew up doing when we were young. And the fact is that since we have a large number of individuals in that space, this even makes that challenge for our city better.
There's been nothing of late from the Bucks on their time frame for deciding where to put their D-League team, Racine, Oshkosh, or Sheboygan. Milwaukee-based Zilber Property Group is a commercial real estate investment company, which has purchased almost 23 acres of land in the village of Pleasant Prairie for $700,000. The company previously did several speculative industrial facilities in Kenosha County. The latest purchase comes ahead of another development project that's listed for a site southwest of 108th Street and Green Bay Road, adjacent to the Lakeview Corporate Park, which is near Zilber's other projects. Well, there may still be a smile or two or more at UW Parkside in Kenosha today, because the men's basketball team got a big win last night against a big opponent. Coach Luke Riegel's team pulling off a 10-point victory against Drury, the 10th nationally ranked team in Division II. The Rangers are now 11-1 for the season. They will take on Missouri A&T tomorrow afternoon on the road. Kenosha police continue investigating a reported armed robbery of Lou Perini's gas station convenience store at 52nd Street and Sheridan Road this morning. Area law enforcement notified to be on the lookout for a dark red or maroon minivan last observed heading north on Sheridan. The male offender in the holdup described as African American, who implied a weapon, though none was displayed. A vehicle was reportedly tracked into Racine County and into the city of Racine, in fact. Police activity around State and Marquette Streets in Racine this morning, though, not related to the robbery investigation, according to a Racine police official. Milwaukee Federal Court Judge William Griesbach has sentenced a Kenosha man found with more than 600 images and over 100 videos of child pornography on his home computer to 10 years of supervised release. Stephen Newbaum accepting a plea agreement to possession back in August versus distribution. The 2014 FBI investigation included discovery of an internet address assigned to Newbaum transmitting child porn on a sharing network. The U.S. Attorney's Office saw 3 to 5 years followed by that supervisory period. Judge Griesbach, though, took into account the fact that Newbaum has autism and Asperger's syndrome in ordering that 10 years and one day of time already served. While Governor Walker has been talking about considering CBD oil, the marijuana extract, as a recognized help for certain children with seizures, there's been some work at the legislative level to bring a bill forward in the new session. And ironically, it appears to be coming from Brookfield Republican Senator Leah Vukmir. She was against a similar measure in last year's session, the bill called Lydia's Law, after a Burlington girl who died at the age of 7 in 2014 from a seizure disorder. In Kenosha, there's an ordinance change that's been approved by the city council that gives the police chief the opportunity to grant permission for the use of firearms to take care of issues like nuisance animals. Police Chief Dan Miskinis, talking to the alderman this week, says it gives him the opportunity to grant the authority for discharging a firearm for mitigating a threat like, say, animals by the runways at the airport.
An example would be the airport where they have deer that would cause serious risk to airplanes. This would allow me to give the airport director the ability to do what he needs to do. It's applicable elsewhere, water utility, wherever there's a risk, this would allow us to do that. So there's safety parameters that would be in place. There's time parameters. Absent that, there isn't the ability for the city as a whole to manage those threats.
Other weapons such as a bow and arrow could also be used, Chief Miskinnis noting it would likely only be, though, as a last resort. Our AccuWeather forecast is coming up. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.